is Optimus Prime, and you are listening to The Masters of None.
Masters of None.
There's another podcast out there called Masters of None. Check them out. They're very funny guys.
Craft Radio.
This is Weird Al Yankovic, and you're listening to Masters of None.
A comedy podcast that doesn't suck.
Masters of None.
We talk about and debate the best and worst of pop culture, man. Interview celebs and often make offensive jokes.
This is a comedy podcast that they say doesn't suck.
Okay.
Masters of None.
Brought to you by the Simply Syndicated Network, lubricated by Blue Point Beer, and live on morelikeradio.com.
Yeah, this is Mo the Bartender, and you're listening to the Masters of None. These are the only guys to come into Mo's Tavern and ask for a craft beer and not a duff. Bunch of jokes.
What's going on, everybody? It's Masters of None. I am Jay. With me is Mike.
Hi.
And Art.
Yo.
And this is, I know we did a football episode last week, but it's, you know, the Super Bowl just happened. And if you are new to the show, Mike was there because
was
he
there.
Works there.
Yep.
He works for the stadium. And Art was there because who the fuck knows, really? Because internet money. Money on the internet.
Yep.
And I was home doing nothing. Actually, we were at a friend's house. But basically, this is going to be like the insider's guide to the Super Bowl. Going to talk about what it's like working at it, what it's like attending it. And although the game itself was probably the worst ever, it's still going to be fascinating, at least for me, to find out what the hell was going on behind the scenes and in the scenes, on the scenes. Around the scenes,
yeah.
Mike's got some awesome, great stories of just everything going on. So it's gonna be great.
I know. I can't wait to hear like all the shit. So, first, we do have another bit of news we got to talk about because, of course, I'm drinking a Blue Point. I'm drinking a Blue Point Optical Illusion right now. How about you guys?
I'm drinking whiskey in protest.
Uh oh.
Nah, I've just been.
I'm drinking a Blue Weiser.
A Blue Weiser.
So the big news just came out today, which is Wednesday as we're recording this, is that our pals at Blue Point were just purchased by Budweiser. Whoa.
Wow.
It's like blowing up the internet right now.
You're welcome, Blue Point Budweiser. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, what we're wondering is what our, you know, royalty check will be in this, because it's been, what, 6 years now that we've just been promoting?
Yeah.
Blue Point as a beer brand, you know, across the world, essentially worldwide promotion.
Worldwide,
for six solid years. I say it's worth at least 1%. You guys think?
More, oh, that's, yeah, that's a good, yeah, 1%. Come on, that's
1%.
2.5 million folk. Well, you know, the cool thing is how many times have people either emailed us or, you know, we've tried it in like beer stores around my neck of the woods. I was like, hey, do you guys get Blue Point? I mean, I'm in Jersey, so it's not that far from Long Island. I'm like, you guys getting Blue Point? And they're like, huh? And I kind of clue them in, and they're like, yeah, cool. And then there's a couple other bars that started getting it too. So, I mean, and having people emailed us through like our Gmail account being like, hey, how can I get this, how can I get Blue Point, right?
Yeah, we tell them to email Blue Point.
Yeah, we brought it to Canada.
Mm-hmm. We did have the first ever Blue Point tasting in Canada.
We did.
We've sent it overseas to our friends in England and the UK.
And those bottles made it intact.
That's right. We've sent it to Arizona and California, our friends out there.
Yep. And I like to think that every time that I buy it, people that are watching me buy it are going, that guy might know something. I might have to go buy that too.
He's a handsome devil.
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe not on that one.
Nah, but, well, maybe.
But so basically, yeah, it's all over the place, man. People are freaking out. People are indifferent. People are happy for Blue Point.
The Facebook page is a little brutal. Holy shit.
Which one? Ours or Blue Point's?
Blue Point's. Well, yeah. Ours has always been brutal.
Ours is brutal just by the things we write on it.
Yeah.
Wait, what's going on with the Blue Point one? What's going, like, are just, they like, are people like sellouts?
Yeah, people are fucking pissed, man. Some and vocally,
are they like
telling them?
Are they like really ticked? Like, you know, they thought there was going to be a snow day and they have to go to work pissed, or are they like, I just saw the Coca-Cola commercial and I'm so ticked off at American Coca-Cola pissed.
I don't know. I don't know, Jay. You can probably speak to this a little bit more. It's like one of those things where You like these beer drinkers, they put a lot of themselves into it, into their hobby. Mm-hmm. So it's like they feel a little betrayed in a way when somebody's just like, yeah, we're going, you know, a different direction than you're completely used to.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you're in the beer world. What are the people
literally
saying?
In the beer world.
See what I did there?
I did. I have mixed emotions on it.
Well, Mike, what did you say in our text when we were going back and forth and heard the news? What did you say that you would do? You want eventually want to what?
I said oh, I yeah. eventually want to sell out.
When's
our chance to cash in?
All do, no yeah. matter what.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, first and foremost, it's a business,
right?
You know what I mean? Nobody opens a brewery just so they can drink for free or whatever it is. That's silly. Obviously, you love beer. You get into it because you want to make great beer and have other people buy your great beer. But I mean, first and foremost, it's a business. And now, a little background. There's a brewery out of Chicago called Goose Island.
Right.
That, you know, was very much like Blue Point, independent for a long time, made great beer, had a great reputation. And Budweiser bought them. But I believe that they pretty much still let the same people who owned the brewery do their same thing that they were doing in the same place that they were doing. And they just poured money into, you know, their production facilities and letting them make more beer and distribute that beer nationwide so more people can get it. And I believe, you know, that from what I'm reading, that's what they're going to do at Blue Point. They're still going to be in Long Island where they are now. They're just going to expand operations and distribute it nationwide. Which, I mean, is what you want, that's, I would assume, right, as the owner of a brewery.
Now, I saw the... Let me ask you this. Amagang, right? Since before they... Because I've only known Amagang recently, but before they were purchased by Duvel. Is that how you pronounce that? Duvel?
I think it's Duvel.
Duvel, whatever.
It's Duvet.
Yeah. Did they taste much different? Has their taste changed since then?
No, I believe they still, it's the same beer. I mean, they're still making the same beer. I don't think the point is that for Budweiser to buy the brewery, then have all their beer be shitty now.
Right.
Like Budweiser is. I think they want them to keep making the beer, but they want more people to get it, thus making them more money.
Right. But think about it. Like, because there was two examples that kept getting brought up on their Facebook page, and one was Amagang, which is, I guess, the right end of how you get bought out works, and the other was Rolling Rock. Rolling Rock, right. Like as a terrible example of a larger company buying you out and then making your beer watered down and taste like shit.
Yeah, because I think what Rolling Rock did was they just took the money and left and like, here you go. And then they shut the brewery down and like they moved facilities. I think like Miller Coors owns it.
Mm-hmm.
And they just started making it in one of their giant breweries, and that was the end of that. Like the people who created Rolling Rock weren't even involved anymore.
Right.
As far as I know it.
Let's just say they go the Amagang route, right? And they're like, no, we're going to still make our beer. Isn't it true, though, just kind of like pizza, which different tastes all over the country because of the water and all that? Is it true that, like, I've never tasted a Budweiser from, like, you know, I think the closest one was, like, Merrimack, New Hampshire, and then now New Jersey. I really don't drink Bud or Bud Light, but isn't it true, like, they're kind of different tastes all around the country, even though they're made by the even though they're made under the big umbrella of Budweiser, but the water and the certain ingredients are different, right? So, I mean... Are people getting scared of that? I mean, like, they might lose the Long Island water flavor? Or like, what's the deal?
No, I mean, to a degree, like, once you go up large scale and you have different breweries in different places, they'll actually treat the water chemically to make it the same all around. But you could actually tell, like, because Blue Point isn't all made at the brewery in Long Island.
Right.
They make some of it either in Jersey or PA or upstate. And part of their thing is to, you know, do quality control to make sure that it is tasting right. And I've had many people who say they've tried, like, even Keegan Ales in Kingston, that the beer, there were these contract breweries that make the beer for the same companies in other places. They're supposed to be following the recipe and everything, but they don't do everything the right way. And there was, like, supposedly this huge contract brewery, like, upstate, who had a ton of breweries they were making beer for, and they were just terrible. And they actually, like, ruined a couple of breweries, like, because they made it really poorly,
yeah,
and it all went out. And by the time they found out it was bad and tried to get it all back, it was too late, and they fucking like ruined the reputation of a lot of these breweries.
That's the whole point of Guinness too. Guinness's whole thing is, you know, you go to Ireland where Guinness is right there, and one, and the locals will tell you, you know, oh, they pour a good pint of Guinness. It's the same fucking beer everywhere, but the way that they do it in specific places may make it taste differently.
Brilliant.
Yeah, and there's, yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of things that can go wrong with a beer from like when they make it to when it gets to you. You know, it could be pouring through a dirty draft line, which can make the beer taste like shit. Like it can
so dirty
get like frozen in a truck that gets left outside at a warehouse. Like there's a whole bunch of things that go wrong in the way, but Budweiser is known to not let that shit happen
because
they do make the same exact product all over the country, all over the world. So, I mean, I don't think the quality is going to be a problem if they really want to keep let them making what exactly the beers that they're making now, which I couldn't see them not doing that. I don't think they would do that kind of a deal because they've always been about like doing what they want to do. Funny read on their Facebook. In 2011, you wrote no corporate ties ever, which I think is true, which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
Well, you say that because you have that mentality. You're coming from the streets. You're coming from the earth.
The earth. Welcome to earth.
You can't knock the hustle. You can't just, if they want to do it, they're going to have a chance to make some buku bucks from Budweiser, and they have a better way of distributing their beer towards people, and they're not going to ruin their recipe. Why not do it? And if someone is
Art, if I may paraphrase, don't hate the player, hate the game.
Yes. Yes, sir.
That's pretty good. Did you just come up with that right now? I mean, it would be like if you know, like, whatever, Adam Carolla's podcast network wanted us to come and, you know, wanted us to go join their network and pay us a ton of money, but they just said, we just want you to do your exact same show. We like it. We just want to get it out to more people.
And I would do it in a heartbeat.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Of course.
So are we still going to be sponsored by them?
Yeah, are they not going to start? Is Kurt just not going to return our phone calls now?
I don't know.
Cause are they too big for us?
I'm actually going down there tomorrow, and I emailed them today before I heard the news. I was like, hey, man, I'm going to be around a little bit later tomorrow. You know, we were supposed to go get some lunch, and I was like, I don't think I'm going to be there in time for lunch, but definitely want to pop in. I was going to try and pick up a keg or whatever, but I'm sure they'll be way too busy just partying with hookers and blow all over the place. I'm going to walk in there. It's going to look like fucking The Hangover tomorrow. And then they won't. There's going to be a tiger in the brew kettle.
Well, I definitely want them to understand that we are here for them if they would like to venture in the you know, in the future in the world of podcasting to expand their network, if they will. We could, you know, do all kinds of shit for them. That'd be great. Let's do it. We're here for them.
I don't think our relationship with them will change. It feels like that Bud is just gonna let them do their thing. Again, they're gonna increase the distribution, you know, increase their production capabilities, and just sit back and collect some money.
What about Budweiser's no podcast policy?
Oh, stupid. That's Germans.
True. I did forget about that.
Ruin everybody's
fun. And can we make fun of Joe Buck?
Yeah, I don't get that. Is he associated with Budweiser?
St. Louis. Yeah, he's the St. Louis guy.
Oh. Here's the thing. It's the on their website, on Blue Point's website. We're not going. We're growing. The tasting room will be open this week. Same hour, same beer, same folks brewing and pouring it. The new relationship with Anheuser-Busch is a huge step for the Blue Point Brewing Company, and everyone here is on board and looking forward to the future. We've always focused on our employees, the community, and, of course, the beer, and that will not change.
Watch them pull a Baltimore Colts.
Yeah, sneak out in the middle of the night. It's fucking 3 o'clock in the morning. They pack up a bunch of 18-wheelers with their logo on it, but it's got a little Budweiser flair to it.
You see Jay in a satin Mets jacket looking all sad as a Mayflower passes him by.
Nothing but a trail of hops just leading into the sunset.
It's funny. But I don't know, man. I think it's a good thing for them.
Yeah.
I mean, in general, I'm usually anti-giant corporate America. But then again, we all worked for Clear Channel for a good amount of time. So what the fuck? Like, again, it's the same thing. And actually, you know, you do compromise yourself a little bit when you fucking work for Clear Channel.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you absolutely do.
If these guys could do that and not compromise anything, well, I don't know. Why the hell wouldn't you do it?
Yeah. I say congrats to them, man. Kudos.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge, dude. It's fucking good for them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we know they'll certainly never have to stop giving us free beer because they can't afford it. Which I think is good.
Yeah, good on them. Good on them, man. Yeah. I'm proud of them in a way.
Yeah.
In an odd way.
Until they like start doing it on it. Who are these Masters of None guys you keep on getting
appeared to? Right, yeah. We come up in tax season. We're like, yeah, we gotta stop this. This is not good PR.
Do you think that they'll still have jam bands at their events now?
I think they will. I think we'll still be allowed to go to Cask Fest.
Really? I thought they're going to have like jazz trios now and like French horn sections. Like they're going to be here we go. All snooty.
Who asked on our Facebook page if we're going to get Clydesdales? Because that would be awesome.
That is pretty funny.
Maybe that we'll get a little thank you gift. Just be a Clydesdale at each one of our doors.
I just want the puppy that wanted to hang out with the Clydesdale.
Oh, so adorable.
But I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I'm happy for them.
Yeah,
they fucking deserve it.
Sure.
And if, like I said, if they can keep doing what they do and their shit doesn't get compromised, the beer's still good. I've got no problem with it.
Right.
Love it.
All right. So, shall we talk some Super Bowl?
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, as just a regular person, went to a friend's house, watched it on TV. It was the least interesting game. I mean, there were like, you know, a couple high points with the crazy plays, but in general, like, I saw the fewest commercials I've ever seen at any Super Bowl. I saw the least amount of the game I've ever seen at any Super Bowl, and it was just a fucking bomb as far as, you know, watching it at home. But you guys were there. I want to know, walk me through your days. Now, I know, Mike, you pretty much worked, like, nonstop for, like, what, a week, 2 weeks straight getting ready for this thing?
I figured it out the other day. I worked 80 hours last week.
All right.
Worked 80 hours last week, and I am so drunk right now. I cannot even tell you.
Because this is your first day off?
This is day one and a half. Yeah, I have off tomorrow as well.
So you work nonstop every day since what, last Monday?
Yeah, pretty much.
And today was the first day you've had off.
Yep. Yep. Nice. And actually it was only day, the only reason I had off was because the office was closed because of the snow, which is great.
Okay.
Which, nice. By the way, how fucking crazy was that the day after?
Oh my gosh.
It was like 4 inches of snow.
Yeah. Everyone was pissed who was not there.
Yeah. I just thought, like, wow, a lot of NFL executives woke up this morning believing in God. Mm-hmm. It was like, wow, that's unbelievable. Yeah,
it was cold as fuck until that day. It was like 40.
Mm-hmm.
So lucky.
But 40 was closer to 50. It was amazing. Yeah.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was
great.
It
was. It was really warm. That's right. So walk us through your day. What time did you get there, Mike? Did you sleep over the night before?
No, I didn't have to, which was good. I got a pretty full night's sleep because they like to try to get people out early the day before so they can, you know, get some rest, come back a little fresh. And I got there right about 10 a.m. Game now starts at 6:30, and I was there at 10 a.m., which is fun.
And I thought you would have been there earlier.
Yeah, no, thankfully not. But then the other thing was Art texted me a couple of days prior and was like, dude, can I get a ride with you to the game? And I was like, yeah, sure, no problem. But he couldn't carpool with me, so I had to like drop him off at a train station. So Art had to spend probably 4 hours in his Caucasus Junction train station before he could get over to the stadium.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Which is well worth it because you'll hear my side of the story.
Yeah, it was totally worth it because of the, you know, price of everything. But, yeah, and then my pregame was pretty much running around. We had an issue with the this is not interesting at all. We had an issue with the
tell them about the schematics.
Oh yeah,
sorry, shut up. Let's go ahead.
I wanted to tell. I wanted to tell about this. So everybody that was in attendance got these cushions. They call them the warm welcome packs. And they were these seat cushions that they sat on, but it came with gloves and hand warmers and stuff like that. Well, Art was coming to the game. Art almost worked the game.
Did he?
Because he called me, asked me what was going on, and, you know, to shore up the plans for driving him there. And I was like, and I was interrupted by the news that two of our crew, the day before the game, or the Friday before the game, got kicked off because they stole two of those seat cushions that were good for all the fans.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, you don't mess with the NFL.
Not
and
at all.
Second of all, what gets me, to this day, I mean, granted, it's only like a week, but still, you guys, Mike, you guys were getting so much like Super Bowl swag. It wasn't even
fun.
Yeah.
I got a lot of cool stuff.
Galoshes, condoms, everything. It was great. And these guys stole cushions after they were getting all this stuff. Yeah. I don't get it. I still don't, like, for the life of me, they were getting, like, I would say from the stuff that you showed me at your apartment, no joke, probably about $500, this is the minimum, at least $500 worth of gear.
Yeah, absolutely.
And for seat cushions.
Yep. Not to mention the fact that we still got 60% off everything that was sold in the store. So even it was nice. Fucking great. So, yeah. So my job pregame was just really putting out a lot of fires. Then once the game started, when this game actually started, because the NFL is taking over with it, I don't really have to do much. So I sat in a fucking press box and watched most of the game. I watched the second half. The second quarter, actually. The second quarter on, pretty much. But I did run into, go some places here and there, and I did run into some celebrities, one of which was Kate Upton.
Nice.
Which I fucking posted on the Facebook that she smells delicious because she does. Holy shit. And she's tall, too, which is impressive.
And she did the cat daddy for you?
Mm. God damn. And then I met all of, like, art's heroes.
Yeah.
I had Steve Young. I met Steve Young. I wrote an.
Oh, I met him too. Oh, sorry, Art.
Oh, that's all right.
I rode an elevator with Joe Namath after he did that fucking thing with the coin toss. Did you see that?
Yeah, it was awesome.
I missed it. What happened?
He flipped the coin.
Did he try to fuck it?
He flipped the coin before the referee was ready. He just he handed him the coin and he immediately flipped it, and the referee had to go out and catch it and was like, "Nope, got to call it first." Nobody called anything.
Did he? The ref caught it before he hit the floor.
Yeah, he caught it.
Yeah. Wow. He's like, hold on, we gotta call it. They gotta call it. They're like, oh, I want to kiss you.
And Namath,
James like, Broadway Joe, I'll just do that whatever I want.
And the fur coat that he was wearing.
Oh, his fur coat was amazing.
Did he really have the fur coat?
I touched that fur coat.
Fantastic.
I touched that fur coat on the elevator seductively.
I'm gonna take this coin back to my hot tub.
Well, what did he say to you in the elevator, though?
Yeah, we were. He was holding up the elevator door because he was watching the TV that was in the lobby, and while the door was closing, he realized that there was a TV in the elevator. And he goes, "Oh, look! They got a TV in here." And I turned to him and I go, "Yeah, we thought of everything, Joe."
It's like, don't talk to me, fucking Broadway Joe. I'll be killed. And then I'll fuck you.
I got chunks of guys like you in my stool.
Some will win.
Yeah.
Nice. Who else did you see? What other celebs?
I saw Kurt Warner. I saw Eli Manning. I saw Johnny Knoxville.
Oh, yeah?
Johnny Knoxville was in the coaches club with an amazingly...
His bad grandpa.
Some amazingly gay manager or something. He was... Wow, he looked like a disco ball. His fucking outfit. It was crazy. So I saw him. I saw, who else? I don't know. Saw a bunch of people. But apparently, like, Bill Clinton was there. Dick Cheney was there. Fucking, I heard DiCaprio was there. I heard this is it's crazy just to think
Bill
that
Murray?
Like, you're in this. Yeah, Bill Murray was there. It's nuts. Nice. It was absolutely
very
nuts.
Cool.
So yeah, we watched the game, watched the halftime thing. I had already seen the halftime show like 15 times prior to that, so it didn't really matter to me.
Did you bother to speak up at any point to tell anybody this kind of sucks? Like, this may be the worst halftime show ever.
I really don't have any power over that. So
you don't?
No, I don't. Come on. I don't do that shit.
You're fucking Mike from Masters of None.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, at halftime, that was the fucking. It was the worst.
You didn't like it?
No, it was so lame. There was nothing, like, good or amazing about it at all.
What? So, you just, what, it was just boring for you?
Yeah, it was just a dude, like, singing and dancing. Mm. Like, doing, like, a shitty James Brown dance. And, like, all the lights in the background. That just, I think, went over everybody's heads. They were just like, oh, yeah, look at all the pretty lights.
Oh,
my gosh. I
had no appreciation for all the work that went into that.
Oh, it was great. The amount of coordination it takes to put on that 20-minute whatever is incredible. I mean, sets and people and fucking lights and sound. It's crazy.
It was cool to see the everything set up, because like, you had, as soon as halftime started, you had the clock, the halftime clock on the game clock. It was going, and you were like, all right, and you saw the people like hustling to get it done. But just with those hats, because they were in the the seat cushions. Scott, I don't know if you guys watch the Red Zone on NFL Network during the regular season, but I watch it, and he works for the NFL Network. So it was him and then like some woman announcer. Like anytime there was a commercial, they would come on and give stats about the game and the weather and all these stupid tidbits. Second quarter, the woman was like, all right, it's very important that you take out these hats. You are going to be part of the halftime show. No other, you know, Super Bowl audience has been, you know, so involved like you. Every freaking time there was a commercial, I'm like, okay, we get with the hats. I didn't wear the hat. I was like, I'm not wearing this hat. Keep on telling me to wear this hat. I'm not wearing the hat.
And so like, the audience was supposed to wear like a light up hat or something?
Yeah, because it was in their thing. It's like, okay, now we're going to show you three times how to use the hat. There's a little tab. That's the power button to, you know, activate that, you know, don't do it yet. Don't do it yet. But when we tell you, and it was just like over and over again, like, all right, we get it. And then they kept on talking about how the weather is like so great and all that. Like, yeah, we get it. No one's wearing like parkas anymore. We took them off. Great. I get it. So it the hats and the parkas like enough.
Everybody talked about the weather. Everybody talked about the weather so much leading up to this. And I think they were genuinely disappointed that it was actually nice weather.
Yeah, right.
And that was like all that was talked about. And you know what sucked? I mean, for me, working there and enjoying what I do, everything went off. Everything on our end went off without a hitch. Everything was great except for the fucking game. The game sucked. Like, you just would have wished like the game was good, and then it would have, you know, I don't know. That would just would have made it a little icing on the cake. But
yeah,
whatever.
You're just watching it like, oh god.
Yeah, you feel like watching a high school game.
Yeah, it was fucking brutal, dude. Once they ran that kickback in the second half, it was that's it. By the way, like, you know, and I posted it on Twitter and Facebook that there's some guy in a trailer somewhere in, like, Utah who bets that there's going to be a safety on, like, the first play of the game. He'll bet, like, his nickel or whatever on that one prop bet, and he's a millionaire now. And he's the same guy who also bets a nickel that, like, the second half kickoff will get run back.
it was actually the guy that interrupted MVP speech.
That did what?
You didn't see that?
What was it? No.
Did you see that guy, the 9/11 conspirator, during the press conference?
I saw
after, that. The Seahawks guy won the MVP, and like, he was back, you know, in the locker room giving the end of the game speech, like, with, you know, talking about MVP. This guy comes up in, like, what was it, like a flannel, like, shirt, and he's like, 9/11 was conspiracy. The people, it was, like, set up by the government. And, like, the guy in the Seattle Seahawks is like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah.
The other dude just drops the mic and leaves, and then he's like, the Seahawks guy kind of looks a little scared, and he's like, everybody okay? All right, good. And then he starts talking again.
Where was that? Like, in the locker room?
Yeah, that was in a press conference afterwards.
Press conference
in the
there,
media
yeah.
tent.
Someone just like ran up and did that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just that's completely photobombed him. Nice. And Jay, speaking of the guy that bets on the safety.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a man that won big on that safety bet. And this is the second time he's won it in 3 years.
Yeah, because the Giants and Patriots, right?
He said for the second time in 3 years, the fourth score of the Super Bowl was a safety. And for the second time in 3 years, Jonah Rechnitz cashed in big time. He won $25,000. This past one.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah.
Good for him.
And it was the second time he fucking won.
And people definitely won big on it because, I mean, we used to do, like, Monday Night Football promotions, and, like, that was the big, like, thing that if the second half kickoff gets run back, somebody wins, like, a fucking ridiculous amount of money, like, in the bar.
Right.
So I bet you a lot of people had that going on for the Super Bowl promotions, like at bars or whatever.
Yep.
So, yeah,
you get the keys to the bar.
So not too crazy from you. Mike?
No, I mean, it was, you know, it was work, dude. It was the end of a very, very, very long week, and it was
right, but
just...
most of your work went in before the game.
Yeah, yeah, which is the way it should be.
I'm surprised you actually got to sit down and watch the game. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And hang out with me. It was great.
Yeah, I hung out in his seat for a little while, too, yeah.
Nice. All right, so Art, give us your side now. So the morning happens. You catch a ride with Mike to a train station? What happened?
Yeah, because they wouldn't allow people in, but it was the best thing ever because besides winning the Super Bowl ticket, they gave me a $100 gift card for transportation, which I didn't need. Okay. So I used that for like some bribery from Dunkin' Donuts for Mike and then also some beer and some food. So I get to the train station, and I'm wearing a John Elway throwback jersey. And these Bronco fans were like, hey, you're Broncos fans? I'm like, eh, sure, for today. And they're like, why? Like, I explained I was a 49er fan. They're like, oh, that's great. You know, so you're hanging with us. I'm like, all right, cool. And at the train station, like you said, Mike, there's a bar. So we just started drinking. And they're like, we're going to give you a round because, you know, anybody who's from Jersey and is, like, supporting the Broncos, that's good for us because they came from Denver. They were season ticket holders. So they came. But everywhere I was going, I noticed that most of the fans were Seahawks fans, and they were just, you know, chanting like Seahawks, Seahawks, and then this was the Broncos' retort, Omaha. That was it. They were just chanting Omaha. I'm like, that's not really getting the job done. But I spent like maybe 4 hours with the Broncos fans, just drinking beers, you know, just shooting the breeze. And I bought a round, and they kept on buying the rounds. We're like, great. And then I told them, like, you know, we probably got to get to the platform because they're going to probably close security off pretty soon. They're like, no, we're fine. We have a couple more beers. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go. So around noon, I go down to the platform, and things already packed. And I found out that the other people, because I had their cell phones, they were like, we're texting back and forth. I'm like, yeah, we're stuck up here. They won't let us go. So I was part of the first people to go to the train to go to the stadium. I get to the stadium. And then I'm just checking out all the different things that they got going on there. I did the Deion Sanders primetime dance to get a free ski cap. And then
he just went around, started taking pictures.
Yeah. Started taking pictures of stuff and just, you know, checking out things. And then went to the seat, checked out everything that Mike told me was going to be there. And then a couple people from Australia got there were sitting next to me. And then we started drinking beers. They were buying me rounds. And so I was just sitting in my seat. Watching like the pregame, like Jumbotrons, because I just checked out everything that Mike told me to check out before then. And then when the game started, it was just very cool. One of the things on my bucket list was actually going to the Super Bowl. So it was fun to do that, and just to see the excitement of being at the Super Bowl was awesome. And yeah, it was a blowout, but just the reaction. And even though, like, I don't know for you, Jay, like watching on TV. There was a lot of orange jerseys out there because a lot of people wearing the Seahawks fans were wearing like the blue jersey. So it was kind of like they were blending in. But it felt like, I don't know, Mike, if you can kind of comment to this or agree with me. I felt like the 12th man was there. Every time Peyton Manning was on the field, it was so freaking loud.
I never heard that stadium that loud, to be honest with you.
So what time did you get out of there, Mike?
About midnight.
Yeah?
Yeah, 12:30, something like that. I usually have to stay a lot longer, but because, again, the NFL takes over a bunch of stuff, we don't really have to do anything. So we're out. Right. We were out. And
so would Art hang with you until 12:30?
No, there he goes. Yeah, couldn't get him inside, so I was just like, dude.
But you saved me, though, too, because I wasn't on wireless, and my phone was just draining battery, so I had to turn it off. Because I had, like, even the cell phone. I had a cell phone that charges, you know, like, has a full charge plus, like, your regular battery. But, like, as soon as I got there, like, halftime, my battery was down. I even texted you. I'm like, hey, if, you know, we're going to meet up, my battery's going to be off. So if you text me, I'm not going to respond until after the game. So, like, there was a couple of Broncos fans in my area that left after, like, right before the second quarter ended. They're like, screw this, I'm out. Like, what?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
That's crazy.
And then, like, as soon as the kickoff after when Percy Harvin ran it back, there was a lot more Broncos fans that left. And there was four of us, the bloggers that won those tickets. Two of them left at, like, the third quarter. They were still on the platform when Mike and I were leaving.
It looked terrible. The backup... that train had, that was the one thing that you could probably, you know, read about online about how, you know, what sucked about the Super Bowl being there. That was definitely one of it. I don't think they planned for that many people getting out at once.
Yeah.
Just the logistics of getting everybody in and out, right?
Yeah. Yep. Getting them in wasn't that bad. It was getting them out that was the problem, apparently.
Yeah, but it shouldn't have been more than any regular sellout game. The stadium still holds the same amount of people now.
Well, no. Think about all the parking that's there. Half of it was gone.
Yeah, half of it was gone. And they weren't giving parking out to anybody.
So everybody needed the train.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were touting this as the first mass transit Super Bowl.
Right.
You know,
except that they didn't have enough trains.
Right. They only have one. They only have one.
One train.
Yeah, for me, it was an awesome night because I bought a train ticket to go from Secaucus to the Meadowlands, and that was it. That was like $2.25 off the $100 gift card that they gave me for transportation.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
you couldn't go with Mike in the morning because they wouldn't let spectators into the stadium area that early? Is that what?
Yeah, he wouldn't have gotten past security because you had to be working at that time to get through the security checkpoint that I went through.
But again, that was fine because Denver people were buying me beers.
Yeah, right.
So Art, what did you do until Mike got out of work?
Again, people, like a lot of Broncos fans left, and I'm like, you know what?
Buy pants.
I'll tell you about that, too. Yeah, there was a guy that, like, a couple of Seahawks fans got really rad, and they were like, when I think the Percy Harvin touchdown, they were, like, jumping around, they're giving each other high fives, and they were, like, clinging their beer bottles together, and, like, it sprayed everywhere, and it got, like, my pants, like, me and this other dude's pants, like, totally wet. So I was like, and he's like, dude, I'm so sorry. I'm like, nah, it's all right. That's fine. So I used part of the gift card to buy some like sweet, some sleep pants.
He was walking around wearing pants that looked like Skids. Remember Skids?
Yeah. Oh, they're like Zubaz?
Yeah. Yeah.
Super Bowl Zubaz?
Super Bowl Zubaz. Exactly.
Oh, that's again, awful. Zubaz Bowl.
It was like, for me, I'm like, I didn't care because, I mean, I was like, all right, I got something. I mean, I got a whole bunch of crap in the bags and stuff from the seat cushion, and the people were just handing us stuff. But I was watching the trophy presentation, and then after the trophy presentation, they were like, fans, if you're still in the stadium, don't leave. The platform is full. Please don't leave. They're just like begging people not to leave.
Yeah, they're trying to clear.
We're
going to
bring Bruno Mars back out here.
Yeah.
Here come the Chili Peppers. Do a little more lip syncing for you. Does anyone know the lyrics to Soul to Squeeze? Please report to the 50-yard line.
So I was just walking around. I got in my Zubaz pants and then changed in the bathroom. And then I was just watching. They had like these jumbotrons that had the NFL Network on. And they were just doing some post-game with Pete Carroll and all that stuff. So I was watching that. Then Mike and I kind of found each other, and he's like, hey, just give me 10 minutes. And he's like, I'll charge your phone. I was like, great. 10 minutes, comes back out. I'm like, let's go. And then we did the walk to his car, and then we were – and like, did you say, Mike, this was like the easiest way to get out of a game ever?
Dude, it was the quickest I ever got out of a game. It was great.
Why was all the parking gone?
Because of TV cameras, security – and Fox pretty much took half of the parking lot for a compound.
They extended the security perimeter of the stadium out towards the parking lot. So you actually, to keep people warm, because they wanted to prepare for coldness, they built these huge tents. So when you were going through security, you were going through it in a warm tent rather than just like staying outside. So they extended the perimeter out that far. So they took up like a shit ton of parking spots all the way around. But then in between the stadium and those tents, they built like all these different little activation plazas with a bunch of different shit, like the trophy. They had a trophy pavilion, and they had like the fucking Roman numerals and everything. So
I love Roman numerals.
They tried to jazz it up. It was.
So do I.
I didn't get to see any of it. Did you? What did you see, Art? Did you see any of that?
Everything.
Shit?
It was great. Yeah, because I got there at 2:00, and I was just roaming around taking pictures of shit, and then I think like an hour and a half passed, and I just sat down and because I didn't have lunch at the train station, so I got some like a hot dog or whatever, and then. Just started talking with these dudes from Australia. We started drinking beers at our seat. It was like the best experience. And I gotta thank you big time, Mike, because I didn't have to wait for the train.
Yeah, dude.
Friday, all of a sudden, like it was the first mass
transportation Super Bowl that Art did not have to take mass transportation.
Yeah, it was like I got a free ticket to the Super Bowl. I got a free like $100 gift card I could just use on whatever, and then I didn't have to worry about transportation because Mike brought me home.
Yeah. I made it be certain that it would continue to be the year of the art.
Yeah.
It's definitely not the year of the J. That's for sure. Fucking driving back from Syracuse, goddamn truck got a flat tire.
What?
Sitting on the side of the thruway for 2 hours last night.
Oh.
News at 11, right?
What's that?
Did you say, like, you posted on Facebook, like, news at 11?
Yeah, I wrote, beer truck gets flat tire on thruway, film at 11.
It's like, get on that, Art.
Yeah, I was trying to, it's like a big yellow box truck, and I was trying to find an app as I was sitting there on the side of the road freezing my balls off that I could paint on, like, the Charlie Brown stripe, like, on a shirt across the front of the fucking, across the side of the truck. Yeah, that sucked a huge one. But all right, man. So it sounds like you guys made out all right.
Yeah.
And what was the big controversy? The chili peppers were lip syncing, obviously, and people were upset about that. Is that what
happened? Mike already told me about that. It was great. They already tracked like on Thursday, right?
No, it was the other way around, man. They were the big controversy was the fact that what Flea admitted was that they weren't plugged in. The instruments weren't plugged in. He actually admitted that. The vocals were there. The vocals were there 100%.
Okay, the vocals were live. The music was track.
Correct. Yeah, that's what Flea admitted on, I guess, their website. Not but today or yesterday.
Yeah, but who cares, honestly?
Oh, yeah. I just assume that it's all fake.
Yeah.
So does anyone
Except
really
Britney
think
Spears.
That they're doing it all? It would be. It's like impossible.
Yeah.
To like set up a concert and then have it all go off like that and then be able to hear everything and
without
everything.
A hitch.
It's like,
yeah right.
it's nearly impossible.
Yeah.
Queen Latifah can sing, man.
Was Bruno Mars actually, he's probably doing the same thing, right?
He was actually singing.
He was?
Yeah, he was actually
singing.
And
music was track?
Right, same thing. I mean, it's like that's the way it goes, and that's pretty much what they said. You know, that's how it was presented, and there you go. You know, and it was like one of these, exactly what you're talking about. You don't, there's so many things that can go wrong, why chance it? When you have to do it in such a specific amount of time, you know what I mean?
Was he actually playing the drums at the beginning?
I don't remember.
You told me to like start like giving these fun facts to people that the only thing that was going to be live was his Bruno Mars singing and then his drums.
Okay. So then you're, there you go.
And Joe Namath's coat.
And Joe Namath's coat was 100% real. No lip syncing on that coat whatsoever.
Nice. And did they show the commercials in the stadium, or they were just too busy fucking telling you about
the
stupid?
No, they showed a couple of them.
Oh, they did? Yeah, they had like Super Bowl commercial spotlights or something.
Yeah, they did the Bud one with the Golden Retriever and the Clydesdales, and then they had one like, Doritos, what are you doing? You make a fine chip. You have to like gross people out with like people licking each other's fingers.
That's exactly what you heard in the stadium too. You heard 80,000 people go ugh during that Doritos commercial.
Nice. What else, man?
Oh, this was funny. So there was a couple from Seattle, like right in front of us, and they were like the nicest people, and they were talking like. And she goes, "Oh, are you a Broncos fan?" Because like the two of us, like two of the bloggers, they were just wearing like normal stuff. The one guy that was like a Colts fan, he was wearing a Peyton Manning Colts jersey, and then I was wearing the John Elway one. And she goes, "Oh, you guys rooting for the Broncos?" I'm like, "Well, because I'm a Niner fan, I got to root." And she understood. I'm like, "I don't really care. I have, you know, these, and they're matching my shoes." And she's like, "Whatever." So,
much like everyone else in your life.
Yeah, exactly. During the game, every time they would score, she'd look at me and point at me. I think it's maybe because she kept on getting drunker. Like, she just kept on drinking and drinking. Like, she, like, forgot that I didn't care. But she was, like, especially like, the Percy Harvin one, she was, like doing, like, the guns, like, ha-ha, bam-bam. I'm like, that's cool.
You should, every time, you should have been like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Just said that out loud. I don't care.
I got to tell you what, though. The day after the Super Bowl, I went to a Devils game. And I was actually, like, in really, really good seats. And God damn it, man. Every time I go to a hockey game, I'm like, wow, I should really be into hockey more because it is so much fucking fun.
Oh, it's so good live. It's the best live sport.
It really is. It's so awesome live. It was so awesome to watch. And the free food that was in that club, holy shit.
Where was this?
At the Prudential Center.
Oh, okay.
Just amazing.
I so wanted to go to the games at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
I wanted to go to that more than the Super Bowl. Didn't get to go.
Such a great idea.
You could have, for like $275, you could have got like a ticket if, with like the Yankee Stadium, like whatever their club is,
right,
with like open bar from right behind home plate. Like, I was so close to just buying that and going by myself, but I don't know. Just kind of weird.
Yeah, still though.
I'm going to the NBA All-Star game.
You're going to it?
You're fucking, you're incredible.
Motherfucker. Fucking year of the art.
We got to...
Wait, it's a long year, bitch. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. Is Blue Point sending you?
Yeah.
Well, they should start sending us places.
Yes.
They should.
That's what I say.
St. Louis.
Yep. You know where I want to go this year? All right, can we put this on the docket to maybe do this?
Wait, hold up. Aren't you going somewhere too, like Cedar Rapids?
Yeah. But I'm talking about us, three of us. You know what I want to do this year? I want to do a Lebowski Fest. I think
it's
be
in York, a different city every year.
Yeah, no, they have. I thought they had one in New York all the time, every year.
I think it like rotates.
I think there's one in Franklin, New Jersey. I kept on seeing banners for it.
I think if
Chili's gum guy is going to be there.
Oh, that was great. That was so embarrassing.
For him.
For him. But yeah.
Can I screen my movie? Yeah, to all seven people. Sure, go ahead.
So you're going to fucking NBA All-Star, bro.
Yeah.
Crazy. That's nuts. What do you got to do there? Anything different? You just got to be like, yep, I'm a blogger. Walk around.
Yep.
I do blogging things.
That's pretty much it. And they're like, some other people are reps are like Adidas, and some other people are like, you're going to be there? I'm like, yeah. Like, all right, you can go to our VIP suite and get some free stuff. I'm like,
what?
Oh, dude, you're going to go to the gifting suite?
Yes.
That's the shit right there. That is sweet.
I just want to see if I can get on the dunk contest.
Oh, I want to see you holding up one of the fucking scorecard signs in the audience.
Right next to Dr.
Oh!
J.
Like, as soon as, like, a fucking, like, windmill dunk comes up, oh, you just, like, all lose equilibrium and you stand up and fucking hold up your sign. Woo! 10! You, like, walk around the court, you fucking pace in a circle for a minute and a half. Oh, my God!
This is kind of, like, how ridiculous it's gotten. Like, I've been very lucky. The same weekend, someone's like, "Hey, do you want to cover the NASCAR Daytona 500?"
I was like, "Seriously?"
Yeah. I was like, "I'm sorry."
Wow.
Nice. That's... All right. Well.
Seriously, Armageddon's coming. Seriously, batten down the hatch.
Well, guys, it's I enjoyed the insight.
You're welcome.
And yeah.
Go Blue Point.
Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? Maybe next year they'll be selling a Blue Point at the Super Bowl. Maybe Blue Point will be the big corporate sponsor.
We do have a neon light, neon Blue Point light in one of the clubs in the stadium.
Do you?
Yeah.
Fun fact.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
MetLife fact.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. Well, that's it. There's your Super Bowl and our thoughts on the Blue Point Bud buyout. We will talk to you next week when we will have the Poser's Guide to Being British. Is that what it is?
Poser's Guide to Being British.
Keep on getting pushed back. Poor Graham.
Yeah. Graham gets bumped just like Matt Damon at the end of every Jimmy Kimmel show.
He's going to eat a lozenge.
Our apologies to Graham Woods.
We'll see him next week, though.
Yep, we'll see him next week.
Yeah.
All right, guys. I'm Jay for Mike and Art.
See ya.
Yep.
Seahawks. Don't forget to leave us a review and rating on iTunes and join us on Facebook and Twitter at Masters of None. Masters of None is brought to you by Simply Syndicated, lubricated by Blue Point Beer, and streaming live on morelikeradio.com.
Check out the website mastersofnone.com. It includes episodes, news, articles, videos, pictures. So much fucking more, man. Check them out. Masters of None. Masters of a fucking excellent domain name. I'll tell you that right now. Father too many.
You think they had it? Think someone had it and they were like, we want that. We got it again.
You think they had to buy it?
I would think, man. Like you said, that's a good name.
Unless they got it, they were going way far back.
Maybe they saw that.
Maybe they got it. Maybe they got it way back.
How far back?
Way back.
How far are you going to go back?
Way back. As we go around like this. All right, check them out. Mastersofnone.com.